I'm Denise Crosby, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast.
Hey, it's Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead and Friday the 13th, Part 6, to name a few. And you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Hey, guys, Tyler Mann here, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast.
Hi, I'm John Russo, screenwriter of Night of the Living Dead. Welcome to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.
What up, Mean Militia? I'm Mean Joe Grizzly, and when I'm not trying to help y'all cure the post-Halloween blues, I'm at the Grizzly Cave, watching movies, reading comics, listening to metal, and of course, crushing beers. And if y'all are like me, then you probably have the post-Halloween blues. The flames of the candles that once lit jack-o'-lanterns have flickered out. The cable TV channels are no longer airing horror marathons. The knocks at the door of trick-or-treaters seeking candy have ceased. And although Thanksgiving, late season college football, and family gatherings are ahead, all of that is being drowned out by the fucking voice of Mariah Carey blaring on every radio and in every store loudspeaker in the country. And even despite that, we have a lot ahead to look forward to, like Monarch Legacy of Monsters, Godzilla Minus One, and even the latest Marvel film, or what looks like it's going to be a flop. But November is the month that sometimes is overlooked, especially as a horror fan. But we do have Eli Roth's Thanksgiving coming up on the 17th. So to hold y'all over and to cure the post-Halloween blues, I'll be bringing y'all some quick recommendations and reviews that I really didn't get to cover on the show because of time constraints. But now that we're in the post-Halloween season and kind of in the doldrums, figured I'd go ahead and bring them to y'all. Some Halloween leftovers, if you will. But before we get started, I want y'all to take a second and follow the show on all social media platforms, as well as joining my Mean Militia on the show's official Facebook group by clicking the links down in the episode description. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever platform y'all listen on. By doing this, y'all support the show and help me continue to talk to y'all about all forms of badassery. So let's get to the first movie, which is Dark Harvest. This is Grizzly Grade Reviews. Dark Harvest is a 2023 fantasy horror movie directed by David Slade that's based on a novel by Norman Partridge by the same name. It stars Casey Likes, Amiri Crutchfield, Elizabeth Reiser, and Jeremy Davis. The story takes place in the early 1960s in a seemingly Midwest town where every Halloween night all the teenage boys compete in a deadly competition known as The Run, where they must hunt down and kill a monster known as Sawtooth Jack before it reaches the church by midnight. So this is essentially The Purge meets The Outsiders meets Pumpkinhead, and I enjoyed it. So let's get to the positives. The mashing of ideas and movie concepts in this totally works for me. You've got The Run that is, it definitely has a Purge night feel to it. It's got the madness, the violence, and hysteria that really, it really captures that concept perfectly. You got the social class theme of The Outsiders that is very present here, with like the wrong side of the track kids versus the rich kids angle, and it works very well. They even nail the greaser look of the 50s and 60s with the kids very well also. It's full of Halloween spirit. the setting of the town surrounded by cornfields, the teenagers running around in Halloween masks hunting for a monster with the decorations up all over town just captures the Halloween spirit perfectly to me. The masks and the costumes are classics from back in the day, like, and some are direct homages to things that I love. Like, the lead guy wears a fiend mask, and me being a huge Misfits fan, this was so badass to me, and it made me want to put on the Misfits on repeat. And speaking of the music, the soundtrack was pretty awesome too, with some notables like The Damned and Glenn Danzig lending their tracks to this. There are some decent kills, violence, and a pretty cool monster design. Some of these kids get killed in some pretty gruesome ways, like being torn to pieces and such. The monster, Sawtooth Jack, he's pretty cool. He kind of looks like a scarier version of Jack the Pumpkinhead from Return to Oz, if that makes any sense whatsoever. If you've never seen Return of Oz, it is pure nightmare fuel. It is not, it's not a kid's movie. they market it as a kid's movie. It's 100% a dark fantasy. And the character of Pumpkinhead Jack, or Jack the Pumpkinhead, looks very similar to Sawtooth Jack. And Sawtooth Jack is just like a more scarier version of that. And the overall story is pretty intriguing and solid. And even though it mashes up several previously done ideas, it still finds a way to feel original. But moving on to the negatives. The acting from all the cast is pretty robotic at times, and then at most times it's very overly acted. Even established actors like Elizabeth Ryder, who was in The Haunting of Hill House, and Jeremy Davis, who was in The Black Phone, aren't very good in this, in my opinion. Some of the lore and Sawtooth Jack's abilities are kind of left too ambiguous. I need a little more from both the lore and Sawtooth Jack's powers and abilities. They're just barely or not explained at all. And I'm not, this isn't necessarily a negative, because I don't mind bleak endings, but I do mind pointless endings. And the ending was very, very bleak and pointless at that. I don't mind, again, bleak endings, but it just seemed really forced and not thought out at all. And finally, some of the editing just seems very sloppy. Something crazy will happen in this movie, and it just cuts to a different scene with the same, kind of like, I can give you a perfect example. So if most horror fans have seen Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, and how much of an editing nightmare that movie is, this movie has similar editing at times, not throughout the movie, but at times, where someone will die and those characters will be there to witness it, and they'll be all upset, and then it will immediately cut to a scene where they act like nothing happened at all. And it's kind of jarring to see. So editing is kind of sloppy in parts. But Dark Harvest gives you a greatly effective mashup of styles and themes from modern favorites like Purge to classics like The Outsiders, wrapped up in a very well done Halloween atmosphere. And even though the acting isn't great and the editing is sloppy at times and the ending seems forced, there's still good kills, a cool monster, and a good Halloween season story. Dark Harvest is currently on Amazon and Apple for purchase or rent, and it gets a 3.25 out of 5 and is grizzly grade guaranteed. Now, on to the next film, which might be the best horror film of the year. It's at least in the top 10, When Evil Lurks. When Evil Lurks is a 2023 Argentine supernatural horror film directed by Damien Rugna and starring Ezequiel Rodriguez and Damien Salomon. The story follows two brothers, Pedro and Jaime, as they inadvertently participate in unleashing a demonic evil that spreads throughout their community like a plague, and their struggle to save their loved ones and stop the evil before it's too late. And holy shit, was this great. I've heard of this coming through the festival circuit over the last few weeks prior to its release on Shudder, and it was extremely, extremely hyped. And I can confidently say that the hype is 100% real. So let's get to the positives. Starting out right off the top, I am so sick of demonic possession films, other than a few here and there that have good lore and decent writing. But most of them, most of the time, are the same premise, the same scares, the same everything. It's just the same shit over and over again. Even the ones with good lore and good writing, they eventually devolve into your bland ass possession movie with all the tropes. But not this one. This has one of the most unique takes on demonic possession I've ever seen. It treats the demonic evil presence almost like a virus or a plague, and it's a great idea. And that's the best way that I can explain it, is it isn't passed by like contact or a wound. It's more or less by not following this specific set of rules, which leads to some downright shocking moments of violence in this film. The violence and the gore are crazy and extremely well done. There's some scenes of horrific violence in the film that will leave your jaw absolutely dropped. One in particular that involves a dog that I still haven't gotten out of my head. That it fucked me up, I'm not gonna lie. And a lot of this is practical from what I can tell. I don't think there was a whole lot of CGI used in this. There was some, but I don't think there was a whole lot. The world that this is set in is pretty cool. It's like our world, but apparently this stuff has happened so much, or that it occurs so often, that there are like these contingencies in place in bigger cities, or at least that's what I got out of it. A lot of the lore, though, it's very ambiguous, but it's very, very intriguing. This movie is in subtitles, so if you have hangups on subtitles, y'all need to suck it the fuck up and watch this anyway. It's so freaking good. This movie is phenomenal. But I do feel like if there may be some things that I caught. Now, I've only had one viewing of this. I plan on watching this again to see if I have seen anything that I missed. But back to the positives. It's got great camera work throughout the film. It's a very, very well-made movie in almost every aspect. The director, Damien Rugga, is a rising star in the horror world. This is his second hit, and the first being his previous film, Terrified. So I'm looking forward to see what he does next. He just seems to be kind of like Mike Flanagan. Everything he touches is gold. So far, he's 2-0. I'm rooting for this guy. As far as the negatives go, I only have a few gripes. The characters, unfortunately, around midway part of the movie, begin to act very careless to the point of stupidity at times, in my opinion. A character will warn other characters over and over again not to do something, and they'll still do it. Or the characters are completely oblivious to what someone is telling them. And I could just be reading into it too much and not like paying attention, because I am having to read the subtitles, that I might be missing that the evil is causing them to act so irrationally, I guess. That could be something that is lost in translation because I am busy reading subtitles. And I think that the ending is left very, very ambiguous in a way. The ending, it kind of just happens and just ends. And it doesn't really have much of a resolution. But at the same time, it has this shocking ass twist that happens that once again left my jaw on the floor. But there's something that happens at the end that, at least how I got out of it, again, I need to have a second viewing of it, where something that happens that they didn't want to happen happens, and it's like, okay, what happens now? And I don't feel like we ever get an answer. Again, maybe upon the second viewing, I'll change my mind about that. But the very end of this movie has something very shocking, and I mean shocking. But those are really my only gripes. So, when evil lurks, unique take on demonic possession, the shocking moments of violence and gore, and the overall great direction of the film delivers on all the hype it's generated from the festival circuit. Damien Rugna is now 2-0 in directing horror films and has an exciting future ahead of him as not only a director, but a brilliant horror storyteller. When Evil Lurks is available now on Shudder, and it gets a 4.5 out of 5, and is grisly grade guaranteed. Now it's on to the most profitable film in Blumhouse history, as far as this opening weekend goes, as well as probably the most profitable opening weekend of a horror film ever. At least that's what they're saying. And I'm talking about Five Nights at Freddy's. Five Nights at Freddy's is a supernatural horror movie based on the hit video game of the same name and is directed by Emma Tommy and starring Josh Hutcherson, Elizabeth Lau, and Matthew Lillard. And it tells the story of Mike Schmidt, a guy trying to raise his sister on his own, but just can't seem to catch a break. But when he takes a shady job working night security at an old shutdown pizzeria called Freddy Fazbear's, his desperation to take any job may have led him to a literal house of horrors. I was actually surprised by how much I enjoyed this. And I have zero experience with the Five Nights at Freddy's video games or the lore, so there was a disconnect there for me with some of the Easter eggs and stuff like that, but it still was a blast. So, starting with the positives, the performances overall are pretty solid. Josh Hutcherson does well as Mike and makes you sympathize with his situation and his struggles. Matthew Lillard is not in the movie much, but he is great when he is on screen and in the role that he plays. The biggest plus and positive that I could say about this movie is the animatronics are absolutely phenomenal. They look just like the ones from the video games when you look up screenshots and pictures of the video games. They look just like them. And I think they were done by Jim Henson's Creature Workshop. And damn, I'm just saying these animatronics are probably some of the best that I have ever seen. They did a good job of capturing the feel of the video games and making them feel like how. So, okay, this is the best way that I can explain it. If you're old enough, you went to a place called Chuck E. Cheese's, more or less. That's what I went to when I was a kid. We had Chuck E. Cheese's, and it was an arcade / pizzeria with, you know, like a little playground with the ball pit and all that stuff there. It was awesome. That kind of stuff was popular in the 80s and the early 90s. And the way that these animatronics move, they move just like the ones from like Chuck E. Cheese and stuff. It's the best way I can explain it. It just looks, it completely, instead of it being like a guy in a suit walking robotically, from what I could tell, these were, most of this stuff was all animatronics. And again, it's pretty incredible, if I have to say so. I never once got taken out of the movie because the animatronics looked like a man in a suit that's just trying to be an animatronic in disguise. And to build on to what I was saying, the sets, they're incredible. They nailed these sets. It looks just like the same setup as an old Chuck E. Cheese restaurant that I went to when I was a kid. From like the booths that everybody sat in to eat to the stage area where the animatronics perform, to stuff like the cups that were on the tables, to the where the arcade wraps around and there's the ball pit and everything. All that stuff just screamed Chuck E. Cheese to me and brought back a lot of pretty positive memories. Now, there is some creepiness in this movie. This movie's not scary, but there is some creepiness in this movie, and it comes in the form of like the tight corridors in that are lit with dim or flickering lights, the grungy walls and the furniture. All that stuff just gives you this creepy atmosphere. And there is one animatronic in particular that sings this little jingle before he attacks, and that shit is pretty creepy, I'm not gonna lie. But moving on to the negatives, I have a few, but not very many. This one's not necessarily a negative, but this movie was made specifically for fans of Five Nights at Freddy's. Like I said it earlier, if you aren't a Five Nights at Freddy's fan, then a lot of the Easter eggs are lost on you. I heard another content creator say that it felt like not being privy to the inside joke. And I absolutely felt that. There was people in the crowd that were obviously fans of this franchise, this video game franchise, and they were like oohing and ahhing and oh look at that whatever to each other when certain things happened in the movie, and I was completely lost as to what they were so enamored with. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's more on the lines of I hate that I didn't know more about the lore, which is a knock against the movie because they narrowed their audience by doing that. Doesn't seem so because of the box office, but as far as the quality of the movie, it kind of narrowed the quality or brought the quality down a little bit, because if you didn't play these games, you didn't know half the little Easter eggs that they had. So that was one thing, and again, not really a negative, just I couldn't enjoy it as much as everybody else was there because I wasn't privy to what was going on in the lore. The other part is it's extremely tame. Now there's only one kill in the movie that I would say is a little graphic, and even that's super toned down. It doesn't really show it. It kind of shows a silhouette of it. And there is this rumor that there isn't an R-rated version of this film, and that's a damn shame, because it would work as an R-rated flick if they wanted it to be. I think that Blumhouse being Blumhouse, because that's just what they do. They try to broaden their audience as much as they can to optimize money, and I understand that. I just think sometimes it's to the film's detriment. I could imagine this movie being a lot more effective if there was a little more violence in it. It doesn't have to be raunchy and vulgar or even have a lot of, you know, profanity or anything like that. just turn the kills up just a little bit. They could have turned it up a little bit. It was very, very tame. And the end and the big reveal at the end was extremely predictable. And I would tell you more, but it would spoil it. But let's just say you see it coming from almost the beginning of the movie. At least I did. But that's about all for the negatives, and even though it's a gateway horror film, it is crushing it at the box office. Because Five Nights at Freddy's manages to make a film that's not only for the fans of the games, but for non-fans to enjoy as well. With its world-class animatronics by Jim Henson's Workshop, its good performances by the cast, and the decent story, it's got something for veteran horror fans as well as new additions to the horror community. So Five Nights at Freddy's is currently streaming on Peacock and is also in theaters, and it gets a 3.75 out of 5 and is grisly grade guaranteed. Go watch this movie, guys, or turn it on Peacock. This movie's pretty entertaining. I had a good time with it. It was a very well-made film, and I'm actually looking forward to the next installment, which seems like we're going to be getting a good bit of that. So hopefully they can keep the quality and entertainment value of this one going with the next one that they bring out. And with that, we bring another episode to an end. Thank you all so much for your continued support. Without y'all, the show isn't possible. If you like this episode, please consider subscribing to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to click the links in the description below to follow me on all social media platforms. All right, make sure you go check out Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. He's the guy that does all the music in throughout the episode, my intros and outros. The guy is a genius, and he makes top-notch synthwave music. Check his stuff out. He is on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, pretty much anywhere you can listen to music. So coming up next is more than likely going to be my coverage of the Marvels movie, if I can muster up the strength to go see it, because it looks god-awful. And I wasn't a fan of the first Captain Marvel, and quite frankly, right now, Marvel's just not doing it for me, guys. They're just not bringing anything to the table that I care about. Maybe this movie will change it. It doesn't look like it would. It's also projected to do really, really bad. But I always like to judge movies by going and seeing them myself. I am, however, definitely going to be covering Thanksgiving. I've been waiting for that since they announced it. I'm really excited. It looks like it's going to be pretty damn good. It looks very, very similar to the energy and the same type of spirit as My Bloody Valentine. It looks really, really mean, and I've been waiting on a slasher for like this. So I'm looking forward to this one. As far as what else is going on this month, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can cover, but hopefully I'll have the time to do it. I got Godzilla Minus One coming out at the end of the month. That's going to be hard for me not to cover. Everyone that listens to the show knows I'm a huge Godzilla fan, and we don't cover Godzilla enough, so I want to try to change that. But I hope y'all enjoyed these reviews of a few horror films that are left over from Halloween. Hope y'all enjoyed the Halloween leftovers, I should say. Check those movies out, guys. Those movies are so damn good, especially When Evil Lurks. When Evil Lurks was so damn good. Check those movies out. Let me know what you think about them in the socials. And remember, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.